Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Dare to Win. Our subject matter for this evening, gateway management through healthy habits and lifestyle. Stay with us, learn with us. Thank you.
Here's my chance to dance my way out of my constriction.
Once again, welcome. Welcome to Dare to Win. This is the regular Thursday night radio broadcast for Us Lifting Us. This is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. Yes, we are calling on our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Again, welcome to Dare to Win. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. To join the conversation, you can dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or to ask a question. If you want to join us via your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com, and click the Ulu Radio tab. Then click where it says Listen Live. My name is Sister Nanana, and I am your host this evening for our discussion on gateway management through healthy habits and lifestyle. Joining us this evening, we are very pleased to have a sister who has been a soldier and a true leader in the field of healthy habits and lifestyle, and that's Sister Beverly Grant. And we're just so pleased to have her with us to help us to understand gateway management and healthy habits and healthy lifestyles. So, Bev, would you like to say some words of welcome to our listening audience?
Well, greetings and blessings to every listening ear tonight. And I would love for you to know it's my pleasure to be in conversation with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're just tickled to have you, that's for sure, because this is a subject area that that you certainly are an expert in, and I'm sure that you can really open some windows for us so that we can see more clearly about what healthy habits and lifestyles are, and the gateway management as well. So let's go right ahead, Beverly, and get started in this subject area. But you know something, before we start, I want to make sure that our listening audience knows Beverly Grant is the founder of Mo Better Green Market and the Seeds of Power Unity Farm in Denver, Colorado. So she, as I said, has been in this arena of health and healing and of promoting health through healthy eating and through organic food and through farming and gardening for many, many years. So to get us started, Beverly, could you please just, I'm going to let you tell your own background and your own history. Tell us how Mo Better Green and the Seeds of Power Unity Farm, how that all got started, why it got started. Share with us the vision or the mission associated with it, if you would, please.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. First, I would say that, I'm a native of Denver, Colorado, so, you know, I've done all my schooling here. I have been blessed to live other places and then come back home. And the work that I'm doing now, I consider a culmination of every skill and ability I've accrued over my lifetime. It began with growing up under my grandmother, who was born in the 1800s. Here we are in 2000, and that sounds crazy to say. My grandmother was born in the 1800s, but she was. And she lived till to be in her 90s, and she passed in the year of 1990. long story short, my grandmother was a great inspiration that impacted my life in the early stages, and absolutely the work that I'm doing currently under Mo Better Green. Mm-hmm. What Mo Better Green is a seasonal farmers market business that is open from June to October, But in the off season, I am an education entity where I work in schools at the home level, partner with other entities to deliver education around how food is medicine, and emphasizing that in really and truly our health is our true wealth, and we invest in that one sip and one bite at a time each day. My origins for this work, again, began with my grandmother, because she, in the city of Denver, turned her whole backyard into like a mini farm. And that is because she was used to that lifestyle living in rural Oklahoma, where my mother was the youngest of eight children. She would share stories with me about canning 2,000 to 3,000 jars, which is mind-boggling, in a season, because that was the food that fed a family of 10-plus people, because they had visitors from time to time. Those skills that she was just used to utilizing on a regular basis, when she became city-bound, you know, some of those things she didn't give up, like growing food. At that time, chickens in the city were not legal, so she didn't obviously do that, but that was part of her background. And also, when I look at just the evolution of food in this country, its quality and access and even philosophy and ideology around food. In my lifetime, when I think about what I observed with my grandmother and what I've lived from young adult to the present day, you know, we're socialized away from the things that many of us were taught. And, for example, ensuring that we, you know, buy whole foods and cook on a regular basis. You know, cooking is not a part of our regular culture. Then we're also conditioned to consume a lot of convenience foods, you know, things that are easy to prepare or pre-prepared, or we use an app to have things brought to us. And evolving and adjusting to that type of lifestyle, it's breaking our health, because we're not eating good food and things that are nourishing for us. We are consuming things that answer that hungry feeling we have and maybe taste pleasant to us, usually. And so my work is important because I feel that I help to bring us full circle to our humble origins. Eating organic food is all of our heritage, because that's all that there was. Being a land steward, you know, we were raised to think that way because that was a part of our lifestyle. And the more that we've adapted to living in the city, that's created degrees of separation from living like that. And then, you know, the fact that agriculture in our community has a mixed feeling, meaning some people are apathetic toward that because of the exploitive history related to that. And then because of degrees of separation, some people just don't even relate to trying to farm or garden. And through that, and in having a mindset of only shopping in the store, you know, we just don't develop that connection anymore, Nanana. And so my farmer's market in the city, I created a design that would address our needs. Now, we're living with a lot of health disparities in our community, and it is absolutely largely due to the way that we're eating and what we are eating.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we also think about the high cost of living and the struggles, and a lot of our community is at the poverty line or around it, whether it's above or below, that also influences what we think our food options are. And then some people, some families are even subsidized with horrible quality foods, aka the commodities and things that are you know, provided, and sometimes even through food banks. So this is why we have so much broken health, because we're consuming foods, well, we're calling it food, but they're actually products. And to make a delineation for what I mean between a food and a product, so an apple versus a fresh apple versus applesauce, that's a product. And anything that we kind of open up a package that man has somehow prepared in a place and selling in the store, whether it's dry, frozen, has an expiration date, whatever, it's a product. And what is problematic about these products is what their ingredients are. And many of us don't look at the labels, or we've conditioned ourselves that when we are reading labels and we see these words that we can't pronounce, but they're along with things we do recognize, we kind of give it a pass, and especially if we enjoy it, you know, and understanding that those things that we don't recognize and can't pronounce are chemicals and ingredients that our bodies, in a lot of instances, do not know what to do with it, because it's not really a true food or from a food group. And so those things collect in our bodies, and sometimes it turns into excess weight. It can become the beginning of a breach in our health, because the substance is in there.
Beverly.
Yes.
Wow. You've given us a lot to think about, starting off on this subject, especially making that delineation between food and product. And I would venture to say that most of us have been so trained that we don't even think about that. But anything that comes in a bag, box, bottle, can, or that's handed to you through a window is not food. It is a food product. And so that in and of itself, I think, is a major piece of education for many of us, to be able to understand what real food really is. But let's back up a little bit also. What, when you started Mo Better Green and your Seeds of Power Unity Farm, what was your mission or your vision that you had for that when you started?
Well, it started when I actually started realizing about how terrible access is for our community. When I realized that the neighborhood that I grew up in, Denver, is a food desert, and how many food deserts there are, then learning more about food deserts seem to always accidentally be where the people of color live. And then those neighborhoods seem to be the ones that have the also environmental pollution, under-resourced schools, et cetera, et cetera. And also, looking at, you know what, I don't ever remember seeing a farmer's market or ever heard of a farmer's market in a black neighborhood. And I thought, well, if I want to access better food and things personally, I know I'm not the only one. And so if I'm able to create a farmer's market, then not only can I access better, but the community can. And so it kind of started from there. And then also, Nanana, honestly, years ago when the movie Food Incorporated came out and I watched that, that like created a shift in me to the point where I didn't have trust about where did my food come from? Where did this stuff come from in the store? And when I would ask, you know, different people, sometimes it was a local farm or they don't know, or now there's more labeling in more recent times. So you're seeing that Brazil, Peru, Mexico, for example. And, you know, it spiraled into a lot, Nanana. It spiraled into a lot because then I started to understand why food justice is important, because there's an injustice out there just as on a normal, regular basis for our community. You know,
well, I would have to agree with you 100% on that, and I do think that we have been trained to accept the normalization of this particular injustice as far as food is concerned. We have been trained to accept food products, and for many of us, we cannot make that separation between real food and food products. We just don't, we're not getting that distinction. And I judge that it really is creating a lot of problems for us. So, you know, going a little bit, you know, deeper into and getting more on target with our subject this evening, gateway management. What is gateway management? What is that all about, and what does that have to do with healthy habits and lifestyle?
Well, we're going to say everything right now, because gateway management, that was my way after a bit of pondering. That's what I'm calling the mouth. The mouth is the gateway to our being, our very being. And the mouth is real important. Our communication comes out of there, as well as the inputs going in that literally sustain us. And then why I thought about gateway, Nanana, I literally one day just had this weird epiphany watching a movie. And in the movie, this person was a quote-unquote gatekeeper. And usually, you know, a lot of times if we are going somewhere and we're stopped and we have to be granted access to enter, you know, you're scrutinized. Like, do you have the right credentials? Do you have the proper ID? Are you on the list? Blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, relating that to gateway management personally and eating in particular, this is what I mean. Do you know where that food came from that you're buying, those vegetables, that fruit? Is it an origin that you can trace? And so, you know, if it is not, then you need to think about not consuming it. When you look at meats and things that are in the store or poultry, eggs, if you don't know the farm or the farmer, then you're getting some of what I'm going to call manufactured food, because farming today is not the farming of yesterday. And it's really big corporations that own that have taken over farmland and implementing non-organic methods. And so when we start consuming those foods coming from those origins, that too complicates our health, because whatever the food was grown with or in, that's in our body. And every single thing we eat becomes a part of us. It changes us, becomes a part of us. And so if we're building with something that is not healthy, then it's going to break us down, is what's going to happen. You know, and this is why there's so much leaky gut and other things. You know, it's because, number one, we don't really have a relationship with food anymore. We have a relationship with tons and tons of products. And then they're trying to be savvy, like with, I'm so sick of this vegan gluten-free action, where they write that on stuff that never had gluten in it to begin with. And then just because that language appears on a product does not mean it's healthy and good for you. And so,
it's smart advertising.
Indeed. I mean, these people are paid big dollars to think of ways to continue to appeal to people. So they got to, so they think about, well, what's hot right now? What's the popular conscious? Okay, organic, okay, gluten-free or whatever. And they are mimicking and kind of playing us in some ways, and that's why it's important to read labels, understand language, because you literally read oxymorons sometimes. And, you know, you just sheepishly continue, you know, with habits and, you know, just buying things, you know. And then social media, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes if people see something more than a few times, then they believe it to be true. And it could be completely 100% false and inaccurate. Nevertheless, because it's been seen, it's got this many views or likes, that gives it credibility.
Well, and we've seen evidence of that recently in our political arena as well. As if something is repeated enough times and there's enough social media coverage on it, there's a segment of the population, they're going to take it as being factual without actually checking it out. So right now, we're going to take a short music break. We're having a discussion with Beverly Grant. She is the founder and owner of Mo Better Green Market and the Seeds of Power Unity Farm in Denver, Colorado, talking with us tonight about gateway management through healthy habits and lifestyle. So stick and stay with us. We'll be back in just 2 minutes, and we will continue our discussion. We are back with you again. This is Dare to Win. This is the regular Thursday evening broadcast for Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. And we are having a discussion this evening with Beverly Grant, founder of Mo Better Green Market in Denver, Colorado. And our subject this evening is Gateway Management through Healthy Habits and Lifestyle. If you would care to join us and be a part of our discussion this evening, you can dial 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Please press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question, and we'll open the mic so that you can do that and join our discussion. Thank you so much for being with us this evening, Beverly, and I judge that you are talking with us this evening about a very timely subject, the importance of proper eating, food selection choices, and really understanding what real food is. And so this whole subject of gateway management and the way that you have explained it, that the gateway is actually your mouth. I believe I heard you say that. And
there's no doubt.
You know, you have to be able to manage what goes into the mouth. So,
but really being so intentional about it, Nanana, to where, you know, you just won't allow things lesser than the best quality in as much as possible to enter. Now, granted, I realize, because I can already hear people being like, man. But, you know, you start little by little. You can't do it sweeping all at once. You know, if it were that easy, a lot of these problems wouldn't persist.
I agree with you that that the change is something that's usually done gradual. And the major thing is to recognize that there needs to be a change and be willing to step up and manage that change. I see that we have a caller that would like to either make a comment or ask a question, Bev. So I'm going to open the mic so that we can hear the question or the comment. And this caller, 3697, are your last four digits, 3697. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from, and then let us know your question or your comment.
How you doing? Good evening. I'm Curtis from New York City. Thank you, Empress Nanana, and thank you, Beverly, for a wonderful bill so far. My question is for those that are finding hard choices for breakfast. What is a practical breakfast for those that may be near or in a food desert?
Okay. Well, I've really changed my whole paradigm of breakfast. For example, having things like creating little sautés and fried rices or things like that is kind of how I do breakfast anymore. Eating like a lot of oatmeal or you know, just some of the traditional things, pancakes, like that. Now, we can kind of give them a freshen up. For example, if you were willing to try to put, let's start with eggs. With the eggs, you get onion, just make a scramble with spinach and other fresh vegetables that are not that expensive. Carrot is amazing. Shred carrot, onion, and put that with some egg. And so these are ways really to start getting us in the habit of eating more vegetables. So when I began my shift, I started eating a vegetable with every meal beginning in breakfast. So my best way to do that was either to create a scramble, or if I had leftover rice or quinoa from dinner, then that became, you know, like a stir fry real quick, where maybe I didn't use egg, or you could do that and add egg to it. Now, let's go back to pancakes. We could go the savory way instead of the sweet way and add some things into the batter. And then, you know, as that old song said, pump up the volume.
Thank you.
Hopefully that was helpful to you. I think that as far as breakfast is concerned, one of the things that was really helpful for me in changing diet was to understand that we have all been brainwashed and trained that breakfast is supposed to be certain things, and it doesn't have to be. One of the things that Bev said that I found was very helpful is that breakfast can very well be the leftovers from dinner. You know, we've been trained to think that it has to be pancakes or waffles or, you know, something else along those lines. And it can literally be just about anything that you want it to be. So I think it is a question of how we have been trained to think about it. And, yes, you can eat vegetables for breakfast. I have done it, stir-fried vegetables. And they're just as good in the morning as they are any other time of day, for sure.
Right. Right.
Thank you for your question.
Indeed.
All right. Okay. As we continue on this dialogue, Bev, one of the things that you had mentioned before was the connection between healthy food choices and our health overall. Can you talk more about that? I'm just wondering, are there any specific healthcare needs that you see in our communities that are almost specific to us, that we have more than anybody else that perhaps could be addressed through diet? What are your thoughts around that?
Yes. Now, for sure, Nanana. Well, diabetes, for sure, the type 2 variety. Now, believe it or not, lung health, because lung health and gut health are linked. So when our gut's out of order, we have respiratory problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and other problems, which you are more apt to speak to that than I am. Also, sometimes we have food allergies because we're consuming things that we are unaware that we're allergic to, and that can manifest like constant sinus problems, comfort in the stomach, you know, with just maybe you have your stomach aches sometimes, or maybe you feel queasy, or there's disruptions in your elimination cycle, you know, these are signs. And when people learn what they need to eliminate from their diet and start eating just basic whole foods. I mean, it's mind-boggling how literally these simple things are the paradigm shift. And mm-hmm. I want to say personally, you all, what really helped me to change my vibration was when I started juicing, because then, and this makes me think of the gentleman from New York asking about the breakfast. Juicing is really huge for me, you all, because that really upped my vegetable intake. Because in a juice, I could combine several vegetables together and then pair that with ginger root, turmeric root, burdock root. And then not only am I getting vegetables, but I'm also getting the benefits of roots, you know, that help support my health and really reverse conditions that we are suffering from.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your comments around juicing. I can really relate to that, and that is a way to get some real concentrated nutrition. I think that the one thing that about juicing that might be a caution is that for some people, when they first start juicing, if they've never juiced before, everything that they juice is sweet. And so what happens with the juicing is that it becomes a way of increasing the sugar intake. And that can become a problem if it's not balanced. And so that would be the one caution, yeah, that I would put around juicing.
And I want to thank you for bringing that up, Nanana. It's also true of smoothie making too. And mm-hmm. so when I have the opportunity to teach people about juicing and smoothie making, because it's a definite difference, you know, I definitely emphasize about balancing it, because I tell people to keep it more simple. If it's a juice, you combine one fruit, one vegetable, and definitely roots like ginger, turmeric, and burdock. So, for example, orange, kale, and the roots. Bam, that's such a good juice. In just an orange, kale, and roots, just to give you a little factoids, kale has more calcium than milk, and its iron is higher than beef. But then you've got the vitamin C coming on from the oranges. Then when you think about these roots, let's start with turmeric. Anti-inflammatory, good for heart and brain health. Ginger, anything with the guts, pain relief, antifungal, antibiotic. Burdock root, blood cleanser, cleanses the organs. So, man, all that just happened from that simple juice of orange, kale, and then that. See, that way, you know, the green is offsetting the sweet, but then you also have the roots, which not only bring flavor, but abundant value.
So truly, food is medicine. Every time we put food, true food, in our mouth, allow that to enter through the gateway, then we are actually doing true nourishment to our bodies. And so a lot of what we're talking about, I think, gets down, at least I think, gets down to be choice and what decisions are we going to make. Are we going to make decisions that are going to be beneficial for us, or are we going to make decisions that are going to cause us to pay a price later on? So, you know.
Indeed, Nanana.
Yes. Before we get too much further, Beverly, something I think we kind of skipped over in the beginning that I think we can hopefully talk a little bit more about. Talk to us about your Seeds of Power Unity Farm, and where's that located? How do you go about managing that farm? What do you do with the produce from that? Is that what goes into your Mo Better Green market? How does that whole cycle work?
Okay. Well, the farming part of my work has existed formally for now 7 years, and the farmers market has existed for 11 years. And mm-hmm. in the early days of working to build relationships with farmers, it was difficult, you know, because there were definitely not a lot of farmers of color, and sometimes zero at times, that I could find and tap into. And a principle that I kind of live by and built my work around, which is the problem is the solution. And so sometimes the problem was tapping into sourcing. And the reason is, listeners, I did not want to buy from farmers that didn't grow organically. And here in Colorado, we have it's considered a big ag state, and some of you may live in what's considered a big ag state. That means that the bulk of the agricultural products grown in those states leave your borders, and they are grown. They're not organically grown. Let's just put it that way, because they're subsidized farms. Blah blah blah. And so then I learned I needed to work with mid to small farmers. And then, you know, and then in visiting farms and seeking to build relationships, I was just like, man, if I could grow my own food, I could be a part of my own solution, you know, because most definitely racism would enter in sometimes with sourcing and access. And then the high standards that I have for what I wanted to have at my farm stands. So that's why there's a gap in, you know, in the early days and the farming part starting down the road, because I had to develop some relationships for land access. And in the city, mm-hmm. land is a premium. I've seen many urban farms come to exist, but then development encroaches and you're gone. My blessing is I've got what would be called a multi-plot farm, and each place has a different design. One place is about 5,000 square feet, and that's actually my largest parcel. And that parcel alone produces tons of food, because there are people that are of the mind that no farming happens in the city. Well, I'm here to say gardening don't produce thousands of pounds. And so I work to get agreements for access to the land that would keep me in a position of not having to worry about development or someone usurping my ability to be there. And that's another long conversation. But long story short is, you know, each season, like right now, you know, I sit down and develop a crop plan. Yes, these foods go to support the farmers market, but they also support some food pantries around the neighborhood. I literally give food away. Every single youth that works for me in the summer, I ensure that they're taking food home to their families, because to me that's hypocritical for them to work around this and then not take it home and be able to access it. And so I sell it, I donate it, you know, and then it also supports my food education, like, you know, that I deliver to show people how to prepare these things. Nanana, I've been able to create a whole educational thing each summer that I call Fast Food, where I teach people how to literally, from prep to plate, is going to be about 30 minutes or less, utilizing all kinds of fresh vegetables, and especially the ones that you've never used before. And, you know, and it's an interactive situation where, you know, we prep and cook it together, and then we got to eat it right there on the spot because, man. And that has really proven to help shift paradigms, because sometimes that's quicker than leaving your home, going through a drive-thru, or waiting 45 minutes for an app to bring you something. Man, you be through, have something excellent, and not food-ish or a product. Hunger prevention. You had food.
Wow. That's my response to what you just shared. Wow. So what you have done is that you have created the complete full cycle from the farm to the table. The growing of the food, teaching people how to plant, how to harvest, how to take care of what they've planted to ensure that it grows. And then you have the marketplace where the food that's grown on your farm plots is actually brought to market. So you
indeed, Nanana.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, Nanana, you made me smile framing it that way, because literally I tell people that the cycle of food is from the seed to the stomach, and that's what my work is built on.
All right. I can see that. That is beautiful. That's wonderful. We are so blessed to have people such as you in our community, Bev, for sure, because part of how we are going to regain and build our sovereignty is that we have to know how to feed ourselves and what that is all about and the importance of that, and not to entrust that to anyone else, and particularly not to entrust to anyone else the responsibility to feed our children. That is so important. You have just given a wealth of information to us this evening, and I'm just so pleased that that you were able to join us, and I'll look forward to having you back again in the future. As we're getting close to wrapping this up and closing, Bev, do you have any thoughts that you would like to leave us with? And particularly, I'd like you to mention, let our listeners know your website, your Instagram information, and any other way that they can be in touch and see the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Nanana. The first thing I would love to leave you all to think about is that every single sip and bite that we consume all day long is either doing something to us or for us. And so we want to be more mindful of selecting the things that are for us. And then regarding how to reach out to me, On Instagram, you can direct message me at MoBettaGreen. And the same on Facebook, you can find me MoBettaGreen Marketplace. I don't really have a website. I just leverage the social media and the direct messaging. Now, for some of the old schoolers, my email is MBG for Mo Betta Green Manager, all together lowercase, MBG Manager at gmail.com. And so, man, please definitely do reach out and touch. I'm here for you. You know, I love to tell people that for the inspiration of my business and the people that helped me fulfill my mission in the business, I took the BOBO approach, black owned, black operated, because we do everything, you know, and we need to seek each other out. And I love what this is called, us lifting us. You know, I feel that all day long. So I want to thank you all for listening, and Anana and those that support you, I want to thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us this evening, Bev. It certainly has been a pleasure, and we will look forward to having you with us again in the future when we will talk more about gateway management. And it has just been enlightening, as well as a challenge to take on the responsibility for managing the gateway, and the gateway really to not only to our physical bodies, but what we put in our mouths affects us emotionally, affects us spiritually, and in so many other ways. Food really is a deep, deep part of our culture. And so we're starting to recapture that and to understand the power of food. So I really appreciate your Mo Better Green Market, and look forward every summer when the Mo Better Green Market is open and available. So thank you for being with us, and thanking all of our listeners for tuning in with us this evening. And please come back and be with us again next Thursday. We are here starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 9 p.m. Eastern Time is the start time for Dare to Win. And remember, this is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. Thank you all so very much, and tune in again next Thursday. Peace and love to you all.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're pushing up our ass. If you've ever been held down before, I know.